Following on from my last podcast, where I talked about starting to heal from a breakup, I thought I'd look at grief and perhaps dealing with grief when you're still working or going back to work. Well, let's start with why grief is so painful. Takotsubo, or broken heart syndrome, is another word for grief, in that researchers at the University of Aberdeen found that the heart can be stunned when tragedy occurs. And this means we can actually struggle to regain full physical health. So participants in the research whose hearts were broken or stunned, they reported feeling that they were tired more quickly and unable to exercise. And these effects actually lasted longer than originally thought because they took a longitudinal approach to studying these participants. So we need to be aware that grief can bring with it physical changes, and these can actually in turn affect our behaviors. So for example, even if you feel mentally fit, somebody who is tiring easily may still be less inclined to join in with events. It might not be depression, but it may be discomfort. And so being able to say what's happening can be really important. It's also possible with loved ones that they're not just dealing with grief, or you're not just dealing with grief, but there could be a sense of blame of, did I do something wrong? Did I do all I could? Could I have done more? Should I have noticed something was wrong? Could I have spoken more kindly? And so on. And to some extent, there could even be a sense of survivor guilt. Why not me? With something like a health issue, this can cause additional distress because it can mean that you yourself may need to check for any genetic risks. And this second guessing, going over the event, going for tests, as well as the trauma you've already been through at the point of loss, can make healing much more difficult. And it can be very comforting to have others around for support, but also we need to be aware that they're not just reinforcing some of our own more challenging feelings. So do you go back to work? Well, and another thing to be very aware of is that people process grief in different ways. So it's important, as well as not pouring on the burden of blame, to avoid judgment. Some people may prefer to grieve alone. They may need to channel their focus. Others may wish to talk about it. As long as that person is able to process what they're going through and they're not harming themselves or others, their choices need to be respected, even if they don't match our perceptions. As a public speaking teacher, I would always say, read the room. When you're making a talk, read the room. Sometimes you can't make any changes, but certainly in a one-to-one conversation, if you notice someone really doesn't want to talk about something, don't force them to, even if you want to. It's also notable that the support network and availability of support can differ from person to person. So it may be about seeking professional help to work through things rather than simply talking to family and friends. But also, if your family and friends don't feel rejected if a person chooses to talk to a professional rather than a loved one. Also, if your personality is such that you're a problem solver, your natural desire and past experience will probably make you think, I should be able to fix this, whether it's for you or for someone else. But of course, that fix, when it comes to grief or any sort of emotion, is not easy and may never come. And you need to adjust that mindset. The important thing to realize is that experiences like this change you. They're not actually about moving on or getting over. They add another layer into your universe and you grow again around that. Now, there are some specific things workplaces can do. You might want to have a return to work meeting. Explain to your managers you'd like to return. However, with them, agree a basis on which this would be most effective. Grief comes and goes. There'll be days when you're absolutely fine and suddenly it can hit you and your emotions can be overwhelming. It may help to know, if this happens, who you can call to cover, whether you need to set cover for such occasions. Some workplaces will have a procedure for emergencies. And also monitor your own feelings over time as you return and work with your team to be flexible to gradually get to that fuller timetable. It can also help to have a conversation with your team or your managers and say that people can ask you about your loss, or conversely, that you'd prefer it if they didn't. That's okay to say as well. It's really important to give ourselves permission to negotiate an environment that will serve us best, because if we feel emotionally and psychologically safe, we will perform better ourselves. The difficulty is there seems to be a taboo around loss. We don't like to talk about it. Perhaps we don't want to upset people, but the more open we can be with what we feel able to cope with, the easier it becomes to seek and receive support. Other ways that you may be able to process or rebuild emotionally in addition to any support from work can include finding a purpose. What does help many people is to work on a cause. You might speak at events relating to your loved one's passing. This is a very positive and healthy way to express emotions and process them and let others know and remind yourself that you're not alone. You might work with the hospital or the services who supported you. A shared purpose is a positive way to channel meaning into the pain. It won't remove it, but purpose can lessen its negative impact. However, it is important to remember, if you're not ready to get involved with this sort of thing yet, then seeking professional help to process at the earlier stage can be a healthier option. Maybe you wish to celebrate or recognize an anniversary. Some people may wish to plant a tree or sponsor a bench at a favorite spot to sit. Others may have a ritual of observing a birth or passing or both. It doesn't need to be public. It doesn't need to be done with your family. Just be mindful of their feelings around it as well. And it can be your way of connecting with a moment that's significant in your life. And having that place can be actually very comforting to the broader family as well. Maybe a legacy. You may choose to create a foundation or charity for which you can fundraise. Or in the case of playwrights, for example, Robert Harling, the author of Steel Magnolias, his play was written so that his nephew would know about his mother. Harling's sister was the inspiration for the character of Shelby, who was played by Julia Roberts in the film. And interestingly, in this particular case, Harling adds that in the film, many of the nurses who treated Shelby on screen are the very same people who treated his sister, Susan. Other things to consider for those in a support role include complicated grief. Now, this has been recognized as a health concern, and it differs from depressive disorders. It can involve symptoms such as a feeling of numbness, a loss of trust in loved ones, and even a sense of resentment or bitterness. And this is something better managed with professional intervention. It's also important for those who may be supporting a parent that siblings also, and the other parent has lost someone dear to them. And sometimes support for them may be overlooked. Or you may be in a situation where the parent feels they need to be strong for their family, and they could probably do with some respite help through practical suggestions, taking siblings out, making dinner, and so on. Finally, please do not let others tell you how you need to feel or how you need to behave or how you need to process your emotions. I myself struggle with offering comments here because I would never presume to tell anyone what to do, especially someone who is not a client. And even then, we don't tell clients what to do either. So I do hope that a broader overview of what can help or things to simply be aware of is of use. And that's all we have time for. But for more practical ways to boost your well-being, check out my YouTube channel, Dr. Audrey T, Practical Tools for Everyday Wellbeing, or my Facebook page of the same name. Or have a look at my website, www.draudreyt.com, or tune in to the Wellbeing Lounge on Tuesday nights, 9 till 10, for your hour of mental health on NLive Radio.